Weeks now, I went through the sermons and saw that this is week 10 on holiness, so we're closing off this week. So from next week, we've got a new theme that we're going to be starting with. I'm excited about that. And so I thought it would be fitting just to take a look and a recap as to what we've been speaking about. And we've been speaking about holiness for literally 9 sermons now, with one or two things in between. And I thought it would be fitting to just see and summarize and take stock. Okay, what is it all actually for at the end of the day? The purpose of being holy and seeking holiness, what is it all for? But before we get there, let's see how much we can actually remember. And to be honest with you, when going through it again and I looked at the whole picture of what it is that God was saying, it was once again such a wake-up call, and it ministered so much to me, because you guys do know that I haven't arrived yet, eh? You do know that. I'm on my way. I haven't arrived yet. I'm on my way. So you do know that the stuff that I preach about, I also have to work on in my life. You do know that, eh? You don't for one second think that I've got it all together, because I most certainly don't. And looking at this again, it was like, wow, Lord, the whole sum of what God is saying is so challenging, but yet at the same time, so encouraging. So it was very uplifting for me just to go through that again and seeing the stuff that, and I wanted to give scripture references for it all, but it would just take far too long, and I don't want to do that this morning, because, and if I can't get it said in half an hour, then I'm not going to get it said in 3 hours. But for the sake of God, just reminding us what it is that we've been discussing, our theme verses have been from me, Leviticus 11, 45, and Hebrews 12 and verse 14, and Leviticus 11, 45. It says, I'm the Lord who brings you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy as I am holy. It's something that God commands us to do. It's not a suggestion. It's actually a command. And then Hebrews 12 and verse 14, it says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. So the first week we looked at the fact that holiness is not something that you become one day when you die and you make it to heaven. You say, okay, I am now holy because I am in heaven. If God gives us a command to be holy, it's something that He wants us to live out here and now, something that we can experience the benefits of and experience the joys of and the privileges of here and now. It's not something for one day when we're in heaven. It's something that God wants us to experience in the here and now. That's the first thing we looked at. The second week we looked at holiness means living pure and separate lives. Being separate, the scripture teaches us, says, come out from among them and be separate. It means being different. One of the meanings of the word holiness is being different, like, yes, understand, not being the norm, same old, but being different. It means living lives that are pure and lives that are separate, and asking ourselves the very real question, what does my life look like to others? Especially the unchurched. If I say I'm a Christian, maybe I don't even say I'm a Christian, what do I look like to other people? Have you thought about that? If maybe you get used to church culture and used to the way we do things, we come and we sing a few songs, share a few scriptures and we go home. What do we look like to other people? You know, are our lifestyles attractive to other people? Do other people look at us and think, you know, I'd like to be like that one day? So that question we had to ask ourselves is like, what does my life look like to others? And we looked at the fact that the scripture says that it says abstain from the very appearance of evil. In other words, it mustn't even look like we're up to no good. Like when a person comes into a room and you've been busy there, is it something that you just drop suddenly or stop doing quickly? Because, you know, I find it so strange when you go to the day draws and the rallies and the outreaches and people are just being themselves, and then some choice words roll off their lips. They start speaking in other tongues, and if I'm standing there, they say, excuse toch, pastor. And I'm like, oh, so you apologize to me, but it's like you can speak how you want to before God. It's like, why are you expecting me? There's red blood flowing in my veins, just like you, but for God? And the people try, it's the funniest thing is people. We try and hide away when we're doing things like, really? You're trying to hide away from God? Like, seriously? You're like really hide away from God. I mean, like, It's like, imagine your whole world, all of your existence. Jy's een klein goudvisie in a little goldfish bowl. Mense, dis deurskynend reg rondom. I mean, where can a goldfish hide in a goldfish bowl? And then we try and hide things away from God. So holiness means being pure and separate and asking ourselves the question, what do our lives look like to other people? Then we looked at holiness means hating the sin and not just fearing its consequences. We looked at the fact that church mustn't be effect. Church puts a straight jacket on you. Jou hande is vasgemaak en jy word blootgestel aan al hierdie goeters wat jy graag mee wil deelneem, and you want to do this and you want to do that, but you can't because now you've got to live this kastige Christian life and try and be something or somebody that you're not. In the meantime, this little heart, you want to do all of those things. It's like the guy, he's got this little piglet, and the little piglet rolls and plays in the mud and the dirt and eats all sorts of dirty things that gives it smelly breath and all, it's like, oh, like, ew. So what he does, he has like surgery and he takes the pig's heart out and he puts a sheep's heart in it. Because until such time, he can wash that pig, he can clean it, he can put little goeters on it to try and make it look like a sheep. But inside it's got a pig's heart. So what does it do? The first time it checks that mud, snails a beeline for the mud and it rolls and it plays in the mud. And the pig stays a pig. You can dress it up to look like a sheep, but it stays a pig. Until such time that he takes that pig's heart out, gives it the sheep's heart, then what happens? The pig starts to act like a sheep because it's had a change of heart. And we looked at holiness means not only like I'm afraid of sin, ek gaan dit nie doen nie because ek's bang ek gaan hel toe. Ek gaan dit nie doen nie want ek's bang die Here gaan dit aan my doen of dat aan my doen. Instead of having a heart that says, you know what, I want to please God. It's not because anybody's watching me or because this is what the church requires or because I want to wear this patch, then I must behave a certain way. It's in my heart, I want to live to please God. That's what holiness is. It's not about obeying rules and regulations. Can you say amen? Then we looked at the fact, holiness means facing and overcoming our biggest crisis of faith. And it's like... It's like you, let's just say you learn maths at school. When you go to school for the first time, grade one maths, do they teach you the theory of Pythagoras? Do they teach you the theory of Pythagoras? Some of you are thinking, Mozzie, what is that? I don't eat asparagus. It's fine if you don't eat it. But they don't teach you that in grade one. They teach you, jy het een appelkie. Jy, ons geef jou nog een appelkie. Wat het jy? Een vruchteslaai. They teach you the basics one step at a time. It's like that, isn't it? It's like that. You learn the basics, and it's like that when you get a little bit of faith, it gets tested. So that, and the scripture promises that your faith will be tested so that what happens? So that God can make a fool of you. You're like his scientific experiment. Remember years ago, we got those things called sea monkeys. Anybody? Or was it just in my suburb? You sit water by and you see these little things growing. It's like, you're not God's scientific experiment where he tests you because he doesn't know what you're capable of. It's that the faith in you can grow. And then you go and you learn the next level of maths and the next level of maths. And so it grows. It happens like that with faith in your life. You get a little bit of faith to believe God for something. Guess what? The world and life and the devil, that gets tested and proved. And it's proved strong. It's proved true. It's proved reliable. And then God gives you more and more and more and more. And holiness, you go from one crisis of faith to the next thing. You face this thing and you think, oh, you know, if I get through this, and you get through, and it's like, oh, and then guess what? The next challenge arises, and it's bigger. Holiness means facing our biggest crisis of faith and overcoming those things one thing at a time. And then we looked at the fact that holiness means having a lifestyle of prayer. We looked at the fact that how can you pray unceasing? The scripture says, I'm paraphrasing, don't stop praying. Who do you that? Who do you that? So, wat beteken gebed? Beteken gebed dat ek op my knieën gaan en vou my handjies so voor my en dan sê ek, Jesus loves me, this I know. Yeah, maybe. I'm not being disrespectful. Yes, there is a time and a place for that. But how do you have a lifestyle of prayer where you don't stop praying? We looked at the fact prayer is more a case of being with somebody than it is a case of doing something. And God is alomteenwoordig. So holiness means living a lifestyle of prayer where you're in a prayerful attitude. There's different kinds of, there's 13 kinds of prayer, different ways in which you can pray, so you can pray always. And that's what holiness means, living a lifestyle of prayer. Then we discussed that holiness means following Jesus even when others don't. We looked at the story in John 6 where Jesus came along and he basically taught them something that would come across as if he's saying, you must be a cannibal. You've got to eat my flesh and drink your blood. Drink my blood. It's like, what? They said, this is a hard saying. And it says, from that day, many of his disciples, not the Adana or the Pharisees, many of his disciples followed him no more. And then he turned to his disciples and said, what about you lot? Are you guys also going to duck now? Go to the next day, Joel. And then one of the disciples turned around and said, no, Lord, where else can we go? Because only you have the words of life. We know that only you have the words of life. Why could they say that? Because they'd listened to the other teachers and the preachers and die kerkmense van die dag. Wat gesê het, jy kan nie, jy moet nie, jy sal nie, jy gestraf word. They gave them all of these rules and regulations which they were themselves weren't living up to. That's what they were teaching. And then Jesus comes along and he turns the whole thing upside down. And they said, Jesus, where can we go? Only you have the words of life. We looked at holiness means following Jesus even when others don't. In a world where it's not popular being a Christian, do you know that? It's not popular living the precepts of the Word of God. It's not popular trying to live what God requires from us. It's not popular. It's not the in thing to do. It's not popular. Guys and ladies, we really are like the scripture describes, a peculiar people. A chosen generation, God's own special people. It's rare to find that today in the way things are going in the world. So that was one of the other aspects of holiness. Then we looked at holiness means being, we said, I got up here one morning and I said, we're a slave of some sort. We're enslaved to something, either a slave to sin or a slave to holiness and righteousness. And holiness means that you're enslaved to righteousness. When you're a slave to righteousness, you're entitled to certain things as an heir to the kingdom of God. Holiness means it's more a call to intimacy than it is a change to lifestyle. So it's not like God is saying, stop doing this and start doing this. He's saying, no, I want intimacy with you. I would rather not have heaven at all than have heaven without you. I want you part of this eternity of mine. Holiness is a call to intimacy with God as opposed to stop doing something and start doing another thing. It's a call to intimacy with the Father. That's holiness. And then we looked at holiness can be hindered by the cares of this world and the somebody does not enjoy the preaching this morning. Holiness can be hindered by the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things. These things threaten our walk with God and holiness. The cares of this world, worrying about all sorts of goodness. I heard this guy describes, his version of worrying is that you suffer twice for the same thing. And often it's over nothing. Can we change anything by worrying? Does it change the situation? No. Does it make us feel better? No. And it's a lot. It's hard work worrying. Because you use less muscles. You use less facial muscles by smiling than you do by frowning. Just try. Do this as hard as you can. Frown. And then just smile. It feels so lekker. Oftentimes, I go to my wife and I just touch her on her forehead like this. I say, stop frowning. Stop frowning. So, in a nutshell, that's where we've been going with holiness. And it means all of those things put together. And then I asked the question that I started off with. Okay, Mozzie, if I'm going to be separate. Separate for what? If it means different for what? If I'm living a lifestyle of prayer, called to intimacy, all of that, what is all of it for? Now I'm going to sum up Christianity. I'm going to sum up There's 66 books and seeds of promises, and some people say 8,000 promises here in the scripture. I'm going to sum all of this up for you this morning in two things. Are you ready for this? This is what Christianity is about. You can sum it up by these two things. And as a church, we try our very best to teach this and to live this. It is as simple as this. The great commandment and the great commission. That's it. There's nothing more to Christianity. The great commandment and the great commission. What is the great commandment? Anybody? What is the great commandment? Some of you don't know, but from this morning you're going to know. And what is the great commission? Gaan braai. I got a video clip this week of this little lad, he's in a car. He's crying in the car, and the mom asks him, what's wrong? He's saying, gaan braai. He said, ek het my so gelag, nee. Ek het hard gelag. Ek het lelik gelag, nee. Sê my, jy kan nie nou gaan, maar nee, ek wil gaan braai. Hy wil nie gaan braai. Some people think the great commission is to gaan braai. It's not to gaan braai. Let's admit, there's nothing like a braai, eh? Yo, braais are my lekker. I enjoy braais. I really, really do enjoy braais. I love seeing what people do to their bodies and all sorts of stuff. And yo, I enjoy braais. I really do enjoy braais. Come on, man, I was on holiday and I braaied. Gwyneth made a suggestion that we braai, and she chose the windiest, coldest day to braai. And he staan ek daar. And then said, no, go and braai upstairs. And God het voorsien. God het voorsien. Because this guy was just finishing his braai. And die cooler was net reg. Yes, ek hoef niks te doen nie. He took his vleisies off and I put our vleisies on. En ons het gebraai. But the great commission is not to braai. The great commission is to make disciples. So let's just see. Come with me in your Bibles to Matthew 22. The great commandment. And then we're going to look at the Ten Commandments. And we see how this ties up. So the great commandment. Matthew 22, verse 34. Matthew 22. So all of this thing, holiness, lays a platform, the foundation, the springboard for what it is that we're called to do as Christians. Matthew 22, and we're going to read from verse 34. Okay, sound guys have graciously provided it for us up there. I'm reading from the New King James translation this morning. Matthew 22 and verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he'd silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. It's like trying to trick Jesus. Sure, that's a special kind of stupid. But anyway, tested him, saying, Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? But you've got to understand that he asked this question from a lawyer's perspective, the legality of it, the Ten Commandments, all the other laws that the Pharisees brought upon the people, all these rules and regulations, you can't do this and you can't do that, and you've got to dress like this, you've got to do this. So he was asking Jesus from this perspective to try and trap him in the law. He says, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And then Jesus said to him, if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. That is the first and great commandment. There it is. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Is the greatest commandment, is to love God. Now, how do you know if you love God? This is another sermon altogether on its own. How do you know if you love God? If you say, I love God, does it mean that I love God? What is the Bible's criteria? How does the Bible measure love for God? How does Jesus measure love for Him? By coming to church elke Sondag, Here, en ek gaan ook na home cell toe in die middel van die week, en ek gee my tiendes, en ek gee vir die. Is that how love is measured? That's the consequences and that's the product. The fruit and the labor of love can be seen in this sense. But how does Jesus measure love? And how Jesus measures love? He says, if you love me, you will do what? Obey my commands. So, I ask again, do you love God? If you love me, you will obey my commands. And what does what is Jesus' commands? We'll look at the simplicity of it all this morning. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's the greatest commandment. And then Jesus like takes it to a next level all together. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And because he answered this lawyer, he puts this in. And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Met ander woorde, alles wat julle geleer het en probeer uitleef van nou af tot nou toe, hangs on these. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. That is the great commandment. Holiness is about being able to live that out. Loving God and loving your neighbor. En dit beteken nie die mense wat langs aan jou bly nie. Dit beteken loving jou medemens. But folks, hoe doen jy dit? You know, all I have to do to not act like a Christian is watch carte blanche. Wie van julle weet waarvan praat ek? Watch carte blanche. It's a news program that talks about all the things that are busy destroying sunny South Africa. All I have to do to not act like a Christian is to watch that program. Vra vir Colette, hoorie ek manifesteer, nee. Ek rafel uit, I can't handle it. I can't handle it. I'm getting myself worked up just talking about it now. So I'm going to talk about something else. The feature form that comes after carte blanche or something. So when it comes to that there, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and your neighbor as yourself. Diana, I think Mozzie, hoe vaar jy so ver? When it comes to the great commandment, how are you doing so far? How do you measure up in terms of Jesus' way of measuring my love for him? Oh yeah, I preach. So big deal, man. So, jy het 'n groot bek vir die Here. Oh well, whoopie ding. How do I measure up to this standard? I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I fall short. God help me, I fall short. How do I measure when it comes to loving the unlovable? It's easy to love somebody that loves you back, man. It's easy to want to stand in front of an altar, make a commitment to love to somebody and say, I do. When they're treating you just right, they look just right, they say the right things, they act in the right way, en die dag van hulle dit nie meer wil doen nie, dan is ek nie meer getroud nie. Nee. What about loving the unlovable? Hoe doen ons dit? And realize, you know what? Jesus, he had to die. He had to die to make it possible for us to find grace for things like this. So the whole thing about holiness that we're talking literally since April up to now, holiness, it's about this. Loving the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And then I want to just take it even further than that. Some people don't love themselves. Some people don't love themselves. They can't forgive themselves for seeing that they've done wrong. They hate themselves. They don't like who they are. They don't love themselves. Daarom is dit onmoontlik vir hulle om vir hulle medemens lief te hê. They don't love themselves. That's why in John 13 Jesus says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another how? Not as yourself, as I have loved you. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the kern van Christendom. It's loving others like Jesus loved us. Ladies and gentlemen, if we can get that right, and you know what the good news is we can. You can do that. If you allow the Holy Spirit to take over your life, you can love others like that, like Jesus loves others. You can love others like Jesus loves others. And that in a nutshell is the purpose and the focus towards where holiness should be taking us. It's not so that we can get to a place called heaven. In fact, some people say we already live in heaven. South Africa is heaven. Heaven got whack. Heaven got electric. Heaven got cure for AIDS. Heaven got peace. Heaven got job. We live in heaven. No, this is not heaven. It's not heaven, man. Come on. So it's not about being holy so that we can one day live in heaven. Okay, let me just get my laugh over. Okay, now can I be a prayer? It's about so much more than that. It's about loving others like Jesus loved us. So that's the great commandment and the great commission. And we're looking at the commandment. Let's look at the ten commandments. Okay, in Exodus 20. In Exodus 20, 1 to 17, God gives all the commandments. I'm not going to go into them. It's honoring the Sabbath and not using his name in vain and have no idols before him and not using, you know, bowing down before idols, etc. And then it goes on, not steal, not commit murder, etc., etc. Ten of them. The first four speak about our relationship with God. That's the first four. The next six speak about our relationship with others. And that's why Jesus says, on these two things, love the Lord your God with your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor like yourself. All of the law and the prophets hang on these two things. Because if I love God, I will be honoring the first four commandments. Because the first four commandments deal with my relationship towards God. And then, if I love other people like I love myself, I will honor the other six. And then I will be honoring the other six commandments if I love mankind. Because if I love a person, I'm not going to murder him. I'm not going to steal from him. I'm not going to covet his possessions and covet his wife and lie against him and bear false witness and do all these things against my mates. If I honor those two, the great commandment, the Lord your God with the heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. There's the Ten Commandments, done and dusted. So ek vra volgende, how are we doing so far? How are we doing when it comes to these things? Can you see? You know what this does to me when I have to preach this and live this? What it does, it's not like, whoa, it leaves me hopeless, like, yes, God, I can't live like this. It gets me to my knees where I kan nie anders dan nie as om vir God te vra, Here, help me. Here, help me. Ek is a stikkende gebroken mens because ek kan dit nie doen nie. Lord, I can't. I need Jesus. I need Jesus to help me to do this. To love you, God. By obeying your commandments, I must do it from within, not because I'm concerned people are watching me or what are they going to think of me or I have a reputation to keep or uphold. It's because in my heart, Lord, God, it's not only about what you've done, it's who you are. What other king will leave his throne and come and die for us? Who will do that? Who will do that? Would you, your life now, would you just give all of that up and go and be executed or stand trial in some court in a foreign country for a prisoner who you've never met, you can't even say namely, be found guilty and be sentenced to death in another country for somebody you've never even met? Would you do that? Would you do that? But that's what it's like with God. Never done anything wrong. Comes to another Yee, blow marble key to pay a price for things that he didn't even do. And coming to terms with that and saying, God, I want to honor you for that, for who you are, not because of what you've done. And because of the promises of things you're going to do, that's great. But we see that in the Ten Commandments. By obeying the great commandment, you fulfill that. And what's interesting about it is that it's the thing that is so simple, but yet sometimes so elusive. The simple thing of just loving. Just loving. Just loving. To just love. And we know that love is a feeling, right? I'm glad you kept quiet. It's not. It's a choice. Hollywood has this idea. Oh, what happened? No, we fell in love. So you're walking along and you just get like, ooh. I fall in love. So then how do you like people then they're walking along, guess what happens? Then they fall out of love. Nee, sy doen dit nie meer vir my nie. Of hy doen dit nie meer vir my nie. They get to a place in your life, a moment in time, where in your mind you make a decision. I am going to love you. I'm going to like you. That's why it's a command. Love one another. You don't have to wait around to fall in and fall out. Either you choose to love, and guess what? You also choose to no longer love. You choose to no longer love. And during the praise and worship, that just came up in my mind where Jesus speaks about that. He says, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. And ladies and gentlemen, we've seen that in the world and in the church, the love of many growing cold because lawlessness abounds. And if I let, here's the deal, if this beautiful illustration, you're in a boat and there's a storm raging, okay? And the waters start crashing against the boat, and the boat is on these stormy waters, and the water in the boat gets more and more, and the boat starts to sink. What is making the boat sink? The water inside the boat. Take the water outside of the boat, and the boat stays afloat. So when we let the heartache and the despair and the hatred and the onverskilligheid and all of that of the world get inside us, we start to sink. The key is to let our hearts be strong in love and don't let the world get inside of us, because when the world gets inside of us, that's when we start to sink. So we can honor the Ten Commandments by honoring that. And here's the deal. The Great Commission, Jesus says this. This is the Great Commission, the task that he's given all of us. In Matthew 28, verse 28, verse 18. Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, certain things need to take place in our lives first before we have a desire to tell anybody about Jesus. It's getting to a place where you realize God's love for you. Make a commitment to love God in return. And when you let the love of God transform your life, nobody will have to come to you and tell you, you must do witnessing. You've got to disciple other people. You've got to tell other people about Jesus. Nobody will have to tell you to do that. You'll want to do that. It's like, let's just use chocolate for argument's sake, for want of a better word. How many of you like chocolate? How many of you don't like chocolate? It's like you don't like chocolate at all. When you taste chocolate, you want to like get sick. Anybody? I mean, it's lekker, isn't it? You have chocolate, and then you don't want to tell anybody about it. I'm saying, I was going to say, and then you don't want to share your chocolate. You'd all have to put up your hands. So I can't use that as an example. But say, you don't want to tell other people. You taste chocolate, and then you don't want to tell anybody else about it. It's like that when the love of God, and it's a silly example. I can't think of any other example to use. Something really, really amazing. That's really, really beautiful to experience, and you don't want to tell anybody else about it. It's like it with the love of God. If the love of God really, really transforms your life, you cannot keep quiet about it. You're going to tell somebody about what has happened to you. Nobody will have to come and say to you, it is a Christian's duty to go and share Jesus with other people because Jesus said so. No, you'll want to share that with other people. So in the pursuit of holiness, when you allow the love of God to transform your life, you love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. When you love people, you'll want people to share the love of Jesus. You'll want people to know this God. You'll want people to experience the same goodness, the same love, the same way that God transforms your life. You'll want other people to experience that for themselves. And when you do that, you start fulfilling the Great Commission, where he says, go therefore and make disciples. So, I ask a question again this morning. How are we doing so far? Yeah, now, if you ask this question, do you consider yourself a disciple of Jesus? Just keep that answer to yourself. Well, what is the criteria of a disciple of Jesus? A disciple of Jesus is somebody who's making disciples, is a disciple of Jesus. A disciple of Jesus is somebody who follows Jesus, who strives to live like Jesus did. That's a disciple of Jesus, and somebody who then makes disciples. So I ask you this morning, who in your life are you busy discipling now? And if you're not busy discipling anybody, that's okay. You can start as soon as you leave these doors. Be the change you want to see. You can start by just sharing Jesus with other people. You don't have to have qualifications or degrees or whatever the case. That stuff helps. It helps to have a little bit of knowledge, a little bit of know-how. Dit help dat om te weet hoe om motorfiets te kan ry voordat jy op die ding klim, nee. It helps to know. But it's not the end all and be all. So the Great Commission is making disciples. So as a church, how are we doing with that this morning? How are we doing in terms of making disciples? And if you say, okay, well, what is a disciple? Well, if you look at the way the Bible describes disciples, disciples were called disciples even before they were born again. How many of you knew that? Think about it. The disciples were called disciples even before they were born again. It is a man, a woman, a child, or whatever that submits themselves to the teachings of Jesus and say, Lord, I'm going to allow your precepts to start changing my life. And when you allow that change to take place in your life, and you say, okay, it's no longer sufficient for me just to believe in Jesus. I want to live like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be Jesus to other people. So folks, in a nutshell, to summarize the whole thing that we've been speaking about for weeks and weeks and weeks, about holiness, the purpose and the groundwork for this, the aim and the goal of living a life of holiness is so that we can fulfill the great commandment and the great commission. Christianity is about that. The great commandment and the great commission. Church, if we can get that right, this thing of bringing the unchurched into the family of God to advance His kingdom, it won't be something that we do. It will become who we are. I don't know about you, but I'd love to be at that place. I'd love for people to know Jesus like I know Jesus. I don't want Jesus to be the strange God that nobody can relate to, that taught a life, that tells about a God that has these rules and regulations that nobody can live up to anyway. I don't want Jesus to be somebody who did miracles thousands and thousands of years ago and can't do anything about it today. I don't want that to present Jesus to people like that. I want to present Jesus to people in a way that they can say that Jesus is so real and He's so alive that He can change my circumstances that I'm in today. Jesus can change my life today. The impossible thing that I'm facing. There's a song, I think it's Casting Crowns that sings it. If you don't move these immovable mountains, Lord, it's basically saying, God, if you don't answer these prayers, I'm still going to trust you. I'm still going to love you. I'm still going to believe you. I want people to know that God. That if you're praying for God to change an impossible circumstance and a situation that you just wish you could get out of, and He doesn't, are you still going to live for Him? Or are you then going to say, well, it doesn't work for me. I tried this Christianity thing, but it doesn't work for me. And that is my prayer this morning, that we can get to a place in our lives and understand that this God that we serve, that's what this is about. God wants us to be with Him so that we can experience life, what it's like living the great commandment and the great commission. Having holiness as our backdrop or our foundation, the groundwork, the first step, so that we can fulfill the great commission and the great commandment. If you're at a place in your life, remember the standard and the measurement that Jesus used. That if you love me, you will obey my commands. And maybe you're seated here this morning and think, Lord, Mozzie's spoken about these things, and I know there's things in my life that are not pleasing and acceptable to you. That's why we come to church. We come to church so that we can just have our heart brought in alignment with the Word of God and adjusted so that we can have our minds changed, that we can think like God. That's why we come this morning. We don't come here because it's a showcase for perfect people. We are all a work of grace in progress. We are potter in the hands, we are clay in the hands of the potter. And if you will let God change you and mold you to make you into the man and woman of God that He wants you to be. Let's pray together, please. Lord, I thank you for the privilege of being able to call in your name in freedom like this. I thank you for the absolute luxury that we have of sitting and as believers just gathering together around your word. And when we open our hearts and minds, just hearing what your Spirit says to us. Lord, that is an honor and a privilege. Lord, some of us are young, some of us are older. And the privilege of seeing old age, Lord God, is a gift that not everybody has the privilege of experiencing. And experiencing the strength and the vitality of youth is a gift that others also don't have, Lord. But we thank you that in this time, in this place, Lord God, we can sit around your word and hear what your Spirit says to us. And Father, for me, myself, my prayer is that everything that has been of me will fall to the ground, Lord. And not take hold in anybody's mind or in their hearts. But everything that has been from you, Lord God, from your heart, for us, your people, that we would receive it for ourselves this morning. And Lord God, we want to come and say, Lord, we ask that you forgive us, and we want to say sorry, Lord God, for living in a way which is not pleasing to you. And maybe it's out of onkunde, waar ons rare waar nie geweet het nie. And maybe it's just out of just hardnekkigheid and stubbornness and just being tired of things, Lord. At the point we make decisions where we just don't want to do what we know is right. We're sorry for that too, Lord God. We ask that you forgive us for that. And Father, this holiness, we pray that by your Spirit you enable us to do that, so that we can be people who worship you in spirit and in truth. That we don't just put on a show or go through a religious routine or ritual for the sake of a program, but that we honor you from deep down within our hearts. Father, our heart's desire is to live like Jesus did and to love like Jesus did. We admit that we cannot do that without you, Lord God. We need you, Holy Spirit, to enable us to live like that. Help us to love you, Lord God, with our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love our fellow being, our fellow the people, Lord God, that you allow our lives to cross paths with. Help us to love them in return. Help us to live our lives in such a way that people will want you. And then help us, Lord God, to live out the Great Commission. As we take the next couple of weeks to speak about making disciples, Lord God, teach us what that means. Through our lifestyle, to preach a message, Lord God, that will be contagious to other people. So we thank you again for today. We thank you for the gift of life. We thank you that we have your word that we can read. Thank you for the privilege of corporate worship, Lord, where we can get together as your family. You, the head, Lord Jesus, with us being the body, the church of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. May Almighty God bless you and keep you. May God make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up his countenance over you and give you peace. Thank you very much for visiting with us this morning. Please feel free to join us for some coffee.